be talking about what can I carry on, which sounds really confusing. I'm going to move these so I don't fall, because that would be a really good video clip to put on YouTube. Okay, sweet. So who has ever gone on a trip by an airplane? Who has ever been super stressed about your carry-on because you think you're going to get checked 3 times in inappropriate areas? Woo! So I love packing for my carry-on because no matter how many times I pack, I still am sitting there in the line just being like, when they look at you, you're like, I am not doing anything bad, I promise. There's nothing in my suitcase. I'm not going to do anything bad on this airplane. I just want to go on my trip. And they do not believe you. They look at you. They're like, you know what? I bet you have something in your bag. Right? And you get scared even though you've packed your bag 5 times. You know what's in your bag. You still get so terrified that there is something in your bag. That liquid, that lip balm, they're going to take it away from you. That's your favorite lip balm. Then what are you going to do? Your Brill cream, gone. Gone. We had to hear about that for like 2 weeks. It was a devastating moment. So you pack and you pack and you pack and you pack and you pack, and you get so guilty when you're in line. Oh gosh, I'm so guilty. I have something in my bag, even though you don't. But sometimes you do, and they find it. They find your toenail clippers. This happened to my sweet, innocent little grandma, if you've ever met her, Bonnie. Poor Bonnie. They found her toenail clippers, and they were so like, Bonnie, you and your toenail clippers? You're going to bring these on the airplane. You're going to stab someone with your toenail clippers. So they took her little toenail clippers away, and she was so sad because she got those from her grandma who passed down these pretty toenail clippers. We heard about that for 2 weeks, too. So you get this feeling of guilt, and then they find it, and you're so shameful. You're like, oh, my gosh, I'm the worst person ever. Oh, no. And then they take you into a room, and sometimes they do stuff like that and that. And sometimes people have to watch you that you don't know. And then you feel so condemned, like, oh my gosh, that is, I've never done that before. It is crazy. And then you just feel like, why am I even going on this plane anymore? These people picked me out. They thought I was going to do something bad, and all I want to go do is go sit on a beach in Mexico where no one leaves me alone. I don't want to stress with work or anything, and they just thought they could just get up in there. You just feel horrible. Oh, and sometimes we all do things we regret, even if it's as small as bringing your toenail clippers on your carry-on. Super tiny. Now we're going to get here. Let's see if I can do slides and talk at the same time. So we're going to go into Romans 6:22 in the Message. It says, but now that you've found you don't have to listen to sin, tell you what to do, and you have discovered the delight of listening to God telling you, what a surprise. I love that part. The Message is so fun. What a surprise. A whole healed, put together life right now with more and more of life on the way. Work hard for sin your whole life and your pension is death. But God's gift is real life, eternal life, delivered by Jesus our Master. So fun. I can just imagine my Grandma Bonnie reading it. Oh, so now that you found. Oh, that's great. The Message is awesome. And I made my notes really big, so I'm sorry. I have a lot of paper. Might be a little crazy. So God's gift is life, and sin is death. And I know that sounds really rash. I don't mean literally. Well, sometimes you're not just going to, oh, but like death of your spirit. Okay, so don't get a little like crazy up in here. Yes, I know. I did that the first time. I was like, oh, that's a little crazy. So sin leads to guilt, and guilt leads to shame, and shame leads to condemnation. It's like this trailing effect that just keeps getting crazier and crazier and crazier as you go. And the word condemned kind of means that it's like a building when you're condemned. It's unfit for use. You can't go in there. Like, it's just uninhabitable. It's just kind of like, can you imagine a condemned building? I know there's some in Medicine Hat. You're like, oh my gosh. Not stepping in there for sure. Some people want to go in there, like Jordan. He likes to go in condemned buildings. I don't know why. Where is this going? So sin becomes guilt. And guilt is something we feel, like when you're in that line in the airplane, you feel guilty. And then shame is something you carry, like when they found it, you just feel weight. You're like, oh no. And condemnation is when you're just like, oh, you know what? I suck. And you don't. But can I get Chelsea to come up here? We're going to kind of do a visual demonstration with Chelsea. And these are really heavy. Oh my goodness. We're going to get Chelsea to carry those somehow. And you know what? This lovely contraption Michael brought. Oh, look at this.
It's supposed to go around.
But it's not going to today. And this was her shame, and she's carrying it. Actually pretty good. Because Chelsea works out, and I didn't think about that before, because I don't, so I was like, cool, this is really heavy. But it's not. So this is Chelsea's shame, and she's carrying it great.
Sorry.
And at the beginning, she's not feeling it. Like, you probably don't feel it too much right now, do you? No, it doesn't feel like anything. She's holding it pretty well. It probably is a little annoying. She'd probably rather just, like, throw him off in a corner somewhere.
Oh, yeah.
But eventually we'll see how Chelsea does. She's just going to stand there. We're going to see how she goes. Okay. We're going to see with time what shame does to you. And these things are the things that are weighing her down. And eventually we'll see that it is going to affect her posture. It's going to affect her confidence. When you're holding weights, when I hold these weights at least, like the beginning, I'm like, ugh. And that's not very confident or attractive. I'm not standing tall. I'm not standing like, hey, I got this. I'm standing like, oh my gosh. And people are probably going to look at me and be like, do you need help with that? Can I help you take that off your shoulders? And that is something Jesus does. Can I help you with that? Not yet. You're still fine. But eventually that'll happen. So we're going to go here while Chelsea's just standing beautifully. Oh, this is it. I did it right. Okay, so Romans 5:17 in the NLT, it's not as pretty as the Message, says, "For the sin of this one man, Adam, caused the death to rule over many. But even greater is God's wonderful grace and his gift of righteousness. For all who receive it will live in a triumph over sin and death through this one man, Jesus Christ." That sounds great. Righteousness, you'll live in righteousness. You'll have this gift of righteousness and this wonderful grace. But Chelsea, do you feel like you're living in righteousness and a wonderful grace when you have these weights on you?
Well.
No, she doesn't, actually. I'll just answer for her because she probably feels fine. Gosh, what a great. She's too strong. Is there anyone who's weaker that would be better at this? It's okay. Yeah, there you go. Let's make it harder. Well, for me personally, then, when I'm living under all these weights, I'm not flourishing or living in my righteousness or living in the gift God gave me. I'm like, get these weights off of me. This is horrible. And that just keeps tumbling down the more you weigh on. Like, for example, when you have kids on this as well, how does that feel? Right? She's probably hurting right now. That's even heavier, and it just keeps going and going and going. And I wish we had more weights because that would be so much better if Chelsea just, like, phew. Yes.
Dropped it.
Ooh. There's no power in any of this stuff. There's no power in this weight. Nope. It sucks. There's no power in these weights.
Don't throw.
There's no power in these weights. These weights have no hold on you. Do you feel better?
Yeah.
Yeah. Right? Do a little dance. You got this. Now get off of the stage. Oh. So I was practically at GDC. I was Jesus there, taking the shameful weight off of her shoulders and placing it carefully in the midst of nowhere. Right? That's good. You're not ruled or dominated anymore, bud. I got you. But these things of shame, this heavy feeling of shame, has no power in your life at all. Nothing. No power. You are made to walk tall. You're made to walk confident. You're made to have the full potential God gave you, and you're not going to have it with these weights. clumming around you. Unless you're really strong, then maybe you'll be fine. I don't know. But still, one day you're going to break, no matter how strong you are. One day you're going to fall over. You see those videos on YouTube of those guys holding those weights, and they fall. They're strong, but they still fall. All right? No matter how strong you are, no matter how much you're like, oh, I've worked my whole life for this. Working out. We're working out. We're strong. We got this. I can hold these weights. But then you go up a size and you can't hold it anymore. You know, you can't hold all of the shame on your shoulders, all the shame in your hands. It's too heavy. You're going to collapse. You're going to fall. It's not good. And there's no condemnation for those in Christ. Wow, my English sucks. There's no condemnation for those who live in Christ because Christ makes you free. Jesus makes you free. No sin, no more. The more you lead towards him, the more that sin is just going to, and the shame and all that condemnation is just going to go goodbye. There's a few things you have to do. You have to recognize it, and you have to talk about it and heal it. You can't just be like, oh, yeah, I got this, no more. You have to bring it up. But then it's gone. And then you're going to feel so much better. You're going to be able to do a dance. Woo! You know? So let's go here. Yeah. I'm going to talk a little bit before I go here because I was a little too happy about this one. So when I was in Australia, which is how I start a lot of my sentences, everyone knows that. When I first got there, I was a little lost. You know, I wasn't too sure what I was doing. I was feeling a lot of shame. And so that's why I went there, to get rid of all that shame, because I thought a wonderful beach would just help all my shame melt into the sand and I would be fine. That's what everyone thinks. And I got there and I was getting worse. I was trying to find friends because I was super lonely when you go to a different country and you don't know anyone. And how you find friends is you find a friend on Facebook. This is what you do when you're not in your different country. There's like these little Facebook groups. You find a friend and then you go out because that's what you do. You'd go to the bars, you'd hang out, you'd drink because that's what you do when you're in another country. You have fun, right? But that's not what I needed. I was drinking, I was partying, and I was depressed. And then I would just lay all day in bed, not even going to the beach. So the shame was just weighing me down so much, and I was feeling so condemned that I was literally not going anywhere. I was weighed to my bed, just sitting there watching Netflix, you know. What else am I going to do? And then I went to church for my first time, and I met some really good friends, and they reminded me of this story. And they said, you know what, this is kind of like your life. I know you feel a lot of shame, especially because the stuff you've done, like, that's your past. Like, we're not going through that anymore. You are a new person, you know, every day. Like, your past might be yesterday, but, like, you are a new person today. It might be as soon as last night, but you are a new person today. Like, you don't need to feel shame anymore. So there's this story. Everyone's probably heard this one before. It's a really good one. And it's John 8 in the Message, to throw the stone. Jesus went across to Mount Olives, but he was soon back in the temple again. Swarms of people came to him. He sat down and taught them. The religion scholars and Pharisees led a woman who had been caught in the act of adultery. They stood her in plain sight, and everyone said, "Teacher, this woman was caught red-handed in the act of adultery. Moses in the law gives orders to stone such person. What do you say?" They were trying to trap him into saying something incriminating, so that they could bring charges against him. Jesus bent down and wrote with his finger in the dirt. They kept at him, badgering him. He straightened up and said, "The sinless one amongst you, go first. Throw the stone." Bending down again, he wrote some more in the dirt. Hearing that, they walked away, one after another, beginning with the oldest. The woman was left alone. Jesus stood up and spoke to her. "Woman, where are they? Does no one condemn you?" "No one, Master." "Neither do I," said Jesus. "Go on your way from now on. Don't sin." And Jesus was the only one who could have pretty much thrown that stone at her. And he didn't. And there's all those accusers just being like, "Oh, you adulterer. You adulterer. I'm going to throw stones at you and you are going to die because that is what you deserve." And Jesus is like, The sinless one amongst you, go first, throw the stone. And no one did. because she doesn't need to feel that shame. We all have sin in our lives. She doesn't need to feel that. She's a person. And then I love how Jesus was alone with her at the end. And that's when Jesus talked to her. Jesus could have talked to her before that, stood up, did this big, oh, you don't condemn, and all this big stuff. But he waited till she was alone. And she said, woman, where are they? Does no one condemn you? No one, Master. Neither do I. Go on your way from now on. Don't sin. He could have kind of embarrassed her, but he didn't. He just took her alone. You know what? It's okay. Go on your way. Don't sin. You know, and I bet that's such an intimate moment, and that's what we need to have, is these intimate moments. If God wanted you to feel condemned, he would have sent a condemner, but he sent a Savior who saves and a Savior who frees. And then in John 3:17 to 18 in the Message, it says, this is how much God loved the world. He gave his son, his one and only son, and this is why, so that no one needs to be destroyed. By believing in him, anyone can have a wholehearted and lasted life. God didn't go to all the trouble of sending his son merely to point an accusing finger, telling the world how bad it was. He came to help, to put the world right again. Anyone who trusts in him is acquitted. Anyone who refuses to trust him has long since been under the death sentence without knowing it. And why? Because of that person's failure to believe in the one-of-a-kind Son of a God when introduced to him. It says that anyone can have a whole and lasting life. Anyone. Anyone who trusts in him is acquitted. Anyone who refuses to trust him has long since been under the death sentence without knowing it. It's kind of when we go back to that death of your spirit, all of that condemnation, that feeling of being unfit, that feeling of being condemned, that feeling of being not good enough, that feeling of just like, you're dead when you feel like you're condemned. No one's going to live in you. No one's going to live in that house. It's gross, you know? It's just a feeling we have and we put on ourselves. It's a long-lasting death is a feeling of shame, the weight of guilt and condemnation. If you have things of shame, you can't let that shame overcome you. You can't let that shame, like, be in you because Jesus died for your sins. And that's where the shame comes from. Jesus died for that sin. You're going to sin no matter what. It's just how you handle it. There's good things and bad things to do in these situations. And here we go. I will give you some things not to do in those situations because this is what I do and this is why I'm telling you that this is what not to do. So Adam and Eve are the poster child of what not to do. They're the poster children. Because, you know, when you stuff up, you're not the only one. And sometimes you miss the mark and you eat that apple. But we all fail. And when we fail, we fall. But we don't need to. So when in doubt, don't cover. When they realized they were naked, they sewed fig leaves together to cover themselves. English, it's a hard one. Our automatic response when we are in shame and when we're sinning is to cover ourselves, to hide, to run away, to not tell anyone. But our God is so big and he can handle it. You can handle anything. You don't need to hide. You don't need to cover. You don't need to sit in your bed and cover and watch Netflix. You know? He's got it. Our second thing to do, to not do, is run. When Adam and Eve heard the sound of God walking in the garden, they ran away and hid from him. So then God called to them and said, where are you? Adam answered, I heard you in the garden and I was afraid because I was naked. So I hid. So don't conceal, don't fake it. We all sin, we all make mistakes, we all have shame on us, we all have these weights we carry along. But there's some good things that you shouldn't do. Like, you don't have to hide, you don't have to run. Like, I ran away to Australia, poster child of what not to do, but it was good in the end. But you don't have to run, because be real with God. Just be like, have an intimate moment with God and just be like, hey, God, I'm not running. I'm not hiding. This is what I did. I'm not covering. God's like, okay, cool. This is how we're going to work through it. This is our next steps. You know, he always has a way. He has people that you can talk to, like Michael and people in the church, that will help you with those next steps as well.
have those talks with you. Chris will have those talks with you. Michael's had those talks with me. Michael's had those talks with a lot of people, I bet, right? He's pretty good at that kind of stuff, hey? I wonder why he's here. You know, he's really good. Don't run. Oh, don't blame. That's the next one. Genesis 3:11 to 12. So God replied back to them, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from?" The man said, "The woman put you here with me. She gave me the fruit from the tree and I ate it." I always do that. It was him, not me. I didn't do that. It's such an easy response. It was Jordan's fault. I didn't do anything. I was just there. No. It is legit, actually. I bet a lot of people do that. Yeah, there's a lot of blame that happens. And there's Dr. Steve Maraboli, who's probably smart, said, "I have found that as your wisdom and maturity develop, the number of people you blame for your own circumstances shrink." Yeah, wisdom and maturity in God, then you stop blaming people, right? That is a secular little sentence there. Let's say it again. "I have found that as your wisdom and maturity develop, the number of people you blame from your own circumstances shrinks." That kind of sounds like the word of God too, hey?